In Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus, struggling to get home from Calypso's island, is shipwrecked. Naked, destitute, looking for all the world like a vagabond, he is nonetheless welcomed by Alcinous, king of the Phaeacians. Alcinous and his people treat him like a king. Take his story to heart and transport him to his home, Ithaca, with a vast trove of gifts. That is, they treated him with hospitality. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. These days, we think of hospitality in much less grandiose terms. There's hospitality hour after church, donuts, coffee, and small talk. We might offer hospitality as a meal or a night or two in a spare bedroom, but only for those we know or relatives of those we know. For everyone else, there's the hospitality industry to provide rooms, beds, and meals. Thus, Odysseus's adventures and misadventures provide a whole new perspective on how to treat guests, even those who are strangers to us. Professor Adam Cooper is new to Wyoming Catholic College this year and is in the midst of teaching the Odyssey to our freshmen, drawing their attention to this major theme in the poem, hospitality. When we meet Odysseus in the poem, he's the guest, sort of the nymph Calypso. She wants to marry him, make him immortal, share her beautiful island and its abundance with him forever, but that's not hospitality, is it?
So yeah, the story of the Odyssey begins with Odysseus having spent 7 years imprisoned against his will on Calypso's island, an unwilling man beside a willing woman, as Homer has it. And it's a place where not only is he there against his will, but he's in danger of losing who he is. Her Calypso's name means concealment, and the place is called the navel of all the waters. And while Calypso would promise him immortal life, eternal life, she removes him from everything in the world that challenges him, the struggle, the striving, the suffering of human life, and in order to take her offer, he would have to leave behind. He discovers everything that makes him who he is. And so it's this undying longing that he finds he cannot disown, that he maintains on Calypso's island, that ultimately wins him the help of the gods.
So in a sense, her hospitality, as it were, comes with a very, very high price tag.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean,
that's
it's everything you could want in the world except all the things that you want in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Zeus sends a message to Calypso and tells her to let Odysseus leave the island and find his way back home to Ithaca and Penelope. What happens then?
So of course, this message is somehow sort of won by something in Odysseus that belongs to who and what he is, that he finds he can't give up, which is his longing for Penelope and his home. And so Zeus sends him back on the journey that he's meant to make. And initially sends him out onto the ocean, where coming out of this timeless place, he's once again meeting the challenge of the elements that he has to requires his forethought and his improvising in the moment to contend with the waves and the weather, and ultimately shatters his ship and leaves him with absolutely nothing on the shore of the land of the Phaeacians, Scheria. So once again, all he has is those realities of the heart that even if he wanted to, he couldn't disown without losing his very self, and for which he's now committed to live.
So he lands on the island of the land of the Phaeacians. And how does Alcinous and his court, how do they show him hospitality and what you've called gift friendship?
The Phaeacians welcome him in, and invite him to participate in the life of their community, give him clothes, wash him, invite him to a feast where the singer tells the stories of the sack of Troy and his own heroism. They don't know who he is, and it's one of the striking features of the guest friendship that you welcome this unknown person who may be a potential threat to your community, potential blessing. Let him participate in the life of your community, and only then, later on, invite him to explain himself and how he got there and what he's up to. And this creates a possibility for someone to step back and reflect on who they are, who they should be, who they have been, and even perhaps to become in the welcoming and curious eyes of others better than they are.
And then he tells his tale from the sack of Troy to the island of Calypso to the Phaeacians.
Yeah.
And included in that is the story of the encounter with Polyphemus, the Cyclops, who is rather inhospitable as well. Tell us a little bit about Polyphemus and why he's so inhospitable.
It's very interesting how the Odysseus and his men end up on Polyphemus's island, because this is right after the master strategist, man of devices, has implemented all his skills for getting the better of other people and getting what he wants out of situations to bring an end to the Trojan War. And the very first stop he makes shortly before the Cyclops is just a city of Thracian people, and he comes in need of supplies and simply sacks the city and gets away. Immediately afterward, there's a storm sent by Zeus, who's the protector of guests and hosts, and then after passing through the Lotus Eaters, Odysseus finds himself on a little fertile island full of sheep and goats, everything he needs to survive. But right next door on the land is the Cyclopes. And though he's not really in need of anything, he's flush with loot, he decides to find out if he can get some interesting presents from this person who might be here. So we see maybe Odysseus entering into the encounter with the Cyclops without the attitudes that a good guest should have, and actually approaching his host with a desire simply to get what he can out of him. Cyclops, of course, everything goes wrong immediately, because when the Cyclops arrives and finds Odysseus and his men helping himself to his beloved cheeses, which he seems to live for, it turns out that this Cyclops has no respect for the gods who protect the guest friendship, and immediately, rather than welcoming Odysseus and his men to sit down and eat and be at home, he himself starts eating them.
I think it's significant that Cyclops specifically says, "Don't talk about the gods to me. Don't talk about Zeus to me. I really could care less." And there's a lack of piety there that seems to me to be at the root of his lack of hospitality.
Yeah, and it turns out that one of the important reasons why guest friendship is so important is that the guest or the stranger who represents the unknown entering your community can be a god in disguise, or someone who's carrying some divine gift. At the very beginning of the Odyssey, Telemachus welcomes in what looks like a traveling warrior, Mentes, but is actually Athena in disguise, who is going to prepare him to grow into his destiny as the son of Odysseus and the helper of Odysseus. Mm-hmm. Of course, to the Cyclops, this Odysseus looks like a puny nobody and potentially a tasty snack. And Odysseus will play on the insignificance with which, or rather, the Cyclops' habit of treating the stranger as entirely insignificant by, in fact, introducing himself as nobody, which ends up ultimately getting the better of the Cyclops by turning his disregard against him, because Odysseus, as a guest often is, there's more to him than meets the eye, and it turns out that in this case, it's a very sharp and pointed stake from Odysseus that meets the Cyclops' eye.
Now, while he's away from his house, the house is filled with suitors who, are assuming that he's dead, are courting Penelope. And now he's back, and he doesn't exactly offer them hospitality. Why not?
Yeah.
Killing them all is not hospitable.
Right. And of course, it's they who are initially sort of in the position of hosts with respect to him, because he shows up as a beggar at the table that they have, in effect, made their own. One of the most interesting features of the Odyssey is the way in which Odysseus becomes a guest in his own home. The suitors have been courting Penelope for three years, and they seem very happy to go on doing so, because as long as they are doing so, they can feast on the livelihood of Odysseus and, or what should be the livelihood of Telemachus, his son. And so while courtship ought to be a way, like guest friendship, ought to be a way of approaching another person and considering what your destiny might have to do with theirs, and with a kind of patience and reserve and welcome that enables them to appear as who they are, even better than they are. The suitors seem to be interested in it primarily because of the way it gives them a pretext for filling their own bellies, enjoying the swine of Odysseus and his wine, and in fact, sleeping with his serving maids, while actually making a very poor impression on his wife. So it's like one extended, by taking the form that ought to serve the freedom of the woman who makes her choice discerningly and according to the rhythms of her heart, their courtship ends up subverting the form into the exact opposite of its true meaning, making it one long extended insult to the very goods that courtship, as well as hospitality, is supposed to protect. And so if Odysseus is ultimately meant to be the defender of those cultural forms in the human world that enable the deeper meanings of human persons and human lives to emerge, whether in storytelling, reflecting on one's deeds and being surprised by a emerging divine pattern to one's life, or in hospitality, or in courtship, then, as in the cave of the Cyclops, he is capable and, I think, justified in turning the form that's meant to protect and enable an interchange of lives and an encounter with the mystery of the other into a weapon to defend those very things. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do our students think of this whole theme of hospitality? And I mean, how do they apply it, or how can we apply it?
Yeah, well, there was a wonderful moment in one of our classes in which we were talking about the guest friendship, and we actually had prospective students in the class, and so there was a lot of friendly joking with them about their experiences here. Certainly, it's about welcoming in the stranger and taking that moment as a challenge to really rise to appear as who you are and who you want to be, and potentially learn something about yourself. But there's a way in which this same welcoming, fostering, approaching the unknown in that meets us in the other is something that has to be part of not only our meeting the stranger, but in a truly rich and meaningful human society has to be part of how we meet our friends and how we meet those with whom we're most familiar. Something Odysseus has to learn when he, in order to win the heart and trust of his wife anew, becoming her guest and sort of becoming her true suitor at the end of the Odyssey. He has to win the heart and trust of his own son, who has never known him. And even though Telemachus is in many ways not his father's equal, he has to see his potential likeness in him and draw him out of that. And in doing so, he recovers his own self in the deepest possible way.
And as we exercise hospitality, that encounter can be ours as well.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's in our friends and in our parents, in those who are nearest to us, in recognizing that not only, as Odysseus discovers on Calypso's island, that these are relationships that without whom we lose who we are, but also in rediscovering what is most divine and full of highest potential in them, that we become who we are and should be.
In the first book of the Odyssey, Athena disguises herself and arrives in Ithaca. Penelope's suitors ignore her, but Odysseus's and Penelope's son, Telemachus, quote, saw Athena and went straight to the forecourt, the heart within him scandalized that a guest should still be standing at the door. He stood beside her and took her by the right hand and relieved her of the bronze spear and spoke to her and addressed her in winged words, "Welcome, stranger. You shall be entertained as a guest among us. Afterwards, when you have tasted dinner, you shall tell us what your need is." Turning to the Christian faith, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 reads, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And the Old Testament is replete with stories of hospitable saints entertaining angels unawares. A timely reminder for those of us who live in an increasingly hostile and inhospitable era. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.